Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
Matt Logan,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are four board-certified music therapists with a mission to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth. Join us each month as we talk shop and share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy. Thanks for stopping by.
So, Rachel, you had a fantastic piece come out. It looks like in a local business journal that came out earlier this week. And I saw you post it to your Facebook page. And I have to say, it was one of the nicer, just overall media pieces, spotlights I've seen about music therapy. So congratulations. How'd that happen?
Thank you so much. Well, it was sort of a random thing that happened. I got an email from a freelance journalist here in town and said that she had seen Music Therapy Connections pop up. And this was right after we had opened our doors of our new facility. So we were doing a lot of promoting at that time. And she said that she had seen it a couple places and was interested in doing a piece. And so I wrote her back immediately and I said, yes, of course. And she asked if she could come meet with us and maybe observe some things. And I said, how about tomorrow morning? Because we were just starting our early childhood listen and learn class. And so she came that next morning and observed the class, and we did a nice interview. And that was that. So it was really kind of just, you know, a random lucky fluke, because we're at the point where we can take on more business now. So I think it was a really good opportunity for us to grow. But she did a great job with the article. I mean, she explained music therapy. She got almost all the facts right. And I was thrilled with it.
I know. And that's, and you should be, because again, I read it too. And it's so, you know, most media pieces, well-intentioned, but usually there are a couple things that you kind of cringe and go, okay, almost.
Exactly.
But this one was really nice one.
It was.
And don't call it a lucky fluke, because
it wasn't, because you were promoting. Yes. It was.
That's true. That's true.
You made it happen.
Yeah.
You attracted it to you.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah, it was just, we were...
It's not a lucky fluke.
Okay, I won't say a lucky fluke. I will say I was very grateful for the timing and for the opportunity.
Own it.
Yes. Well, thank you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So
yeah, very cool.
Matt, I hear you also had a good week, but in a completely different way too.
I did, yeah. I got to get back in touch with nature, I guess. And, you know, after spending so much time in Oakland and the big city over here and in San Francisco, it was really nice to kind of reconnect. And I went out to Yosemite, which is also, it's in California, big, huge national park. And I've never been there. So I really had no sense for just how big and incredible and inspiring it really was. And a group of friends and I hiked a trail. It's the Half Dome Trail. So there's a giant rock, I guess. I don't know if it's appropriate to call it a mountain, but it's huge. And it was about a 15-mile round trip hike. And most of it was either climbing pretty steeply or descending pretty steeply. And all in all, I guess it took us about 10 and a half hours. And it was incredible. It was hard, but
10 and a half hours
in one day? Did you spend the night?
One day. Yeah, we did it all in one day.
Are you sore? I'm sore for you.
I know. I was just going to say my legs
sore. Yeah. I'm a bit sore. I can feel it for sure. I'd done a little bit of training, but not 10 hours of training. So.
Wow. So what kind of, I'm assuming you had provisions with you, you know, the water and food and things like
that,
right?
I went through about 3 liters of water and then just snacks pretty much all along. We left at 5 in the morning and we're done at about, I think we came in just a little bit before 4 o'clock. So
wow. And no nap? No nap in there?
No nap. No naps.
Lunch break. Would
have been nice. Yeah.
Oh, never take me on a trip like that. I'm the person you don't want.
Dream vacation for Michelle is not.
I would love to start hiking because my new area is a hikey place, but not that.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely not like the hike to start with. And here's the cool thing about Yosemite is you don't have to work very hard to get spectacular views. You know, you can... In fact, you don't have to work at all. You can basically drive to some pretty incredible, awe-inspiring views. But this was an accomplishment.
Did you take pictures?
Oh, yes.
Can we put some on the show notes?
Totally.
That'd be awesome.
Yep. I'll include some pictures.
Nice. I've never done a hike quite like that. I think the longest, I did hike up when I was in, where was it? Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the Tetons. Mm. I hiked the Tetons, but it wasn't a 10-hour hike. It was like a 6-hour hike. And it was one of those, like that, Matt, it was, you know, leaving at 5:30 or starting the hike at 6. And we were back by lunch. But there's no hiking in Miami. And there wasn't really any hiking in Missouri either, and I really enjoyed when I lived in Colorado hiking, and I kind of miss it down here.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's in the Southern Florida area and has any recommendations, I'm really open. No, that sounds like it was an awesome trip.
It was, and I would do it again, just probably not real soon.
Many music therapists find themselves working from home in one way or another. They may be in private practice with a home office or need to take some work home for the night. Unfortunately, it's not always easy to be efficient in the home environment. In this episode 71 of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast, we will take a look at the positives and challenges that come along when working at home, as well as share tips to improve our productivity. So the four of us all work from home in one way or another as well. So how about we start by going around the table and so we can all kind of share the kinds of tasks, work tasks we're doing around the house. Does that sound good to you guys?
Perfect. We'll go around the virtual table here.
Yes, virtual table.
What's the order? Who's sitting where?
Who's on my left? We'll start with you, Kimberly, because you're the first picture in my row on Skype.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. That's the table right there, the row on Skype. First of all, I love working from home. And the amount of time I've been able or how I've worked from home has changed over the years. But right now, one of the nice things about academia is that there is some flexibility in the schedule. And I work very hard to make sure I can work from home one day a week. So I only go into my office 4 days a week. I schedule to the best of my ability all my student observations, all of my any meetings, student meetings, things like that, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Tuesday is the day that I spend working from home. And I love it because I use it as my project and grading day. And because when you're in the office, you know, I have different meetings and schedules, and sometimes it's hard to have a block of time to move forward on anything in a significant way. So Tuesday's my day, and I do laundry. That's my laundry day too.
Yes. You got to stick that in there.
That's right. All right, so who's next in the lineup?
Matt, how about you? Ooh. How are you working from home these days?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of work from home these days. Well, I guess I split my work between home and like a cafe down the street. So a lot of my homework, which sounds weird to say, but my working at home is creating videos, doing the editing and stuff, just because that's where all my equipment is. But I realized pretty early on in my recent adventure to do all of my work independently from home that I need to get out of the house. And I'm lucky that I have the flexibility to be able to do that. I don't have anyone who depends on me at home that I need to be watching or taking care of. So, I mean, I do have a nice home office and it's conducive to getting things done, but I am still close to a lot of distractions when I am working there. So I like to get over to the cafe where I can you know, work on my emails and blog posts and all of that. And the things that I'm working on now include creating resources for music therapists, doing some course creation, and then just a few other non-music therapy related projects, but that are still, you know, I can work on them basically from anywhere. So that's what I'm doing.
Nice. Rachel, how about you? You just mentioned your facility. So are you still working from home now that you have a clinic?
I am. I'm working from home a lot less. Actually, back in the old days, before September of 2014, I worked exclusively from home. So I did all of my online stuff, all of my prep, everything, as well as working with clients from home because I had a home-based studio and private practice. So last September, that changed when my business partner and I moved out into our first location and worked there for a year. And I was still working from home during the days, like before I would go to see clients. So I still called myself, you know, part-time work from home music therapist. But now that we have the facility, I would say it's about the same amount. So I do a lot of my work from home during the day, especially now that I'm home with Mia in the mornings and early afternoons. And then I do all of my meetings and client work at the facility in the afternoons and evenings. So I would say it's about 50-50, the amount that I work from home and the amount that I work in the studio.
All right. And how about you, Michelle?
I do everything from home too. I'm like Matt. But, and actually, Matt, I would totally agree with you. Sometimes you just got to get out too. So yes. I find like different places to find offices as well, because sometimes you still need a different environment to work in. But all of my work now is all computer-based, all internet, online-based. So I need to be in front of a computer. So the kind of tasks that I'm doing is like writing for people and website updating and press release writing and all those different kind of virtual assistant tasks that people call me to do. So that's what I'm doing at home. So
you just need a place with Wi-Fi, basically.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, I always find and it's funny because like one of the challenges that I've faced as someone who works from home is that the environment, not only just being at home, but just even the specifics of the environment are so important to me in my productivity. Just I'm not a clean freak by any means, but if the house, if I'm in a home office area and it's just trash, I can't work there.
Really?
Yeah, like it has to be there has to be some kind of order. And then you know how sometimes at home you just can't keep up and you'll just have that week, that real messy week kind of thing.
Right.
And that's the week I'm not working at home. Then I get out to the library or the coffee shop or wherever because I still have to do my work. I can't spend hours cleaning up. I need to do what gets me paid. So I get out to work and just have to wait till the evening or the weekend to take care of the dirty work, I guess you could say. Does that make sense?
It does, but I can ignore all that. I do have a limit. I will admit I do have a limit, and sometimes it's just too much. But for the most part, I just ignore it. Yeah. Yeah, it'll get done later. This is what I'm working on now.
And that's the kind of funny thing when I started really working alone, working from home, is that it was really a really crazy, strange time where I really kind of got to know myself a lot, like knowing what works for me, what doesn't work for me. And that's kind of been like a big positive that I really didn't expect when I started working from home and just doing work from the house was just, it's you and your work and with no people distractions, and you really kind of are in your head a lot. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know. Am I making, can anyone?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Michelle. I know exactly what you mean. because the first, I would say the first month, month and a half, maybe even 2 months, I was still figuring out when I was productive, what the environment needed to be like, figuring out that I needed to leave the house. I mean, here I was, I felt like I had everything I needed in my home office, but I still couldn't be as productive there. You know, I just needed to, maybe it was something about the isolation, you know, but I know exactly what you mean.
But you know, even though that was a kind of started out as a challenge, I think it's a positive now. Self-awareness, I guess. I don't know.
Definitely.
Self-growth.
Self-growth. We must be therapists.
It's all a learning experience.
Rachel, what's some of the positives that you have found, like pros for you when it comes to working from home?
Well, I love working from home. I am a super, super homebody type person. And so I like being able to just work whenever I can, especially now with having two kids and having to work around their schedules. I am a really, really big believer in mornings and productivity in the mornings. So I get up every day at 5 and I do the bulk of my work, or the work that needs the most brain power, in the mornings from 5 to 7 before the kids get up. And I love starting my days that way. And that way, you know, I'm not trying to fit it in later when who knows what could happen with a 2-year-old and an infant. And you just really don't have any control over your day after that point. So I like the fact that I can really devote, you know, those hours that you really couldn't work those hours working somewhere else. So you really only have that option working from home.
I'm still stuck on the you get up at 5 and you work from 5 to 7.
I know.
That's my nightmare.
Honestly, I know. It sounds terrible.
But you've always been a morning person. Right. Haven't you always woken up at 5?
Yeah, I've always been a morning person.
Even before kids.
I did. Back in the old days, I woke up at 4:40 to go to the to be at the gym by 5. Those days are long, long, long gone. I don't even have a gym membership anymore. But I got so used to waking up early, and I just love it. I love having a quiet house. I love just like being so centered and focused, and having a fresh brain, because I just don't have a fresh brain at night. Like, I can't do anything at night. So having those 2 hours, and also like the promise of caffeine and coffee wakes me up every morning, and I love like knowing that I can go downstairs and make my cup, and I don't know, it's just like I love it. I love getting up early. I'm strange.
What time
like
do you
that.
Go to bed?
It varies. Sometimes I'll go to bed. I try to go to bed between like 10 and 10:30 every night. Sometimes I end up staying up later. And now the really fun part is that Mia's in a growth spurt right now. For the first, first 3 months, she was like an amazing, amazing sleeper. And she still is for the most part, but she would sleep through the night. Like, I wouldn't be getting up with her at all. Now I'm getting up with her maybe like twice a night. So that's been a little bit of a challenge with the early wake up. But I think my body's adjusted to not having a whole lot of sleep. And
it does. That's true.
It does. It's a little scary. Like the fact that your body can just like adapt like that, but it really has. And so far I'm going strong. So we'll see. But
all right.
Yeah, but I love the early mornings.
Me now when I, because I set my alarm for about 5:45. I mean, I intend to like work out from 6 to 7, and that generally means I start like 6:15 because I hit snooze. So now I'll hear my alarm at 5:45 and think, well, Rachel's been working for an hour. I suppose I should get up.
That would make me roll over in bed. just thinking someone's sleeping. I'd be like, forget that.
I could send you a little text message and say, hey, good morning. Oh, yeah.
No.
Please don't.
My everybody that I work with thinks I'm crazy, because that's when I'm like super active in email and Slack, and I'm like sending out messages and giving updates, and they're like, ugh, don't do that.
I know we're laughing and joking out, but I got to say, I'm actually really impressed that you found, and this will change over the years as your kids get older and things like that, but that you found a schedule that this is what works for me, and you figure it out and make it work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So it is impressive. I know we're laughing about it, but it's really impressive.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and that was something that I was really worried about prior to Mia being born, because I had been doing this with Parker, and it had been working out really, really well. So I was scared that, you know, for some reason I would lose those morning hours. But I think just the fact that I've, you know, kind of devoted myself to that schedule, and she's kind of learned to, you know, nurse and sleep around it. So hopefully that will continue.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a total side note, it just dawned on me that the next time we talk will be in person at the AMTA conference. And you're going to have your daughter with you.
I will.
I can't wait to meet her.
I know. I'm so excited for you guys to meet. And it's so cool because you guys met Parker for the first time at conference in 2013.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Crazy.
Very excited.
Yes.
I'm going to jump in because I think we're actually pretty similar. I'm also an early morning person.
Right.
And it was interesting to me. Part of this, that adjustment, like after leaving my job at the hospital was, you know, figuring out my peak productivity. And what I used to do before I left the hospital is I would get up at about 5 a.m. and do a bunch of work before heading in at about 10. And I thought, wow, this will be nice. I can maybe sleep a little bit later, you know, get a little bit more sleep and get my work done during the day after I left. But that's still my peak productivity time. It's that 5 a.m. to 7, 5, actually now it's 5 a.m. to about, usually 11 or 12 is my peak productivity. And I know that I'm worthless in the afternoon. So I'm an early riser and I get up between 4:30 and 5 every day, if there aren't any weird exceptions. But it's just the best time of day when nobody else is awake. You get that coffee going, you can make a little breakfast. It's that's what I'm all about. But I would say another positive of working from home is you can kind of have some untraditional work habits, like taking a nap in the afternoon. And actually, culturally, a lot of cultures do that. And I think it's because our bodies naturally want to do that. I mean, how many of us have been at work at 1 or 2 in the afternoon and just groggy and sleepy? I mean, I've been there. So being able to take a nap really helps me with that early rising.
Man, I took naps almost every day this summer, and I loved it. And I really, I thought, oh, surely I'll be able to carve out 20 minutes a day. And it's not there right now. I miss naps. I liked the naps.
They're so good.
They are good. They are.
You know, another pro that I have experienced when working from home, and I don't understand the phenomenon, but I feel like I'm kind of more my boss, my own boss. I don't feel like I answer to anyone, because here I'm the only person that knows what I'm doing, and I answer to myself. And even though I have bosses, I work for people, so I do have bosses. But for some reason, since I'm in my own environment, it feels less that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, would you say that you have bosses, or is it more of a like just contractual arrangement? I mean, that's how I would view it if I were a virtual assistant. I mean, they're contracting you to do work that isn't, I mean, you're not their employee, right?
I have some people who I am an employee for.
Oh, okay.
We talk to each other all the time, like, but it's all online, you know, or occasionally I have to call them and ask them questions. So I do have like one person in particular that I'm really like an employee.
I see.
An hourly employee. But it just feels different when you don't see them, I think.
I get what you're saying, right, Michelle? I totally get it, because I feel the same way. And it's funny because, like, I own my own business. Like, I'm the boss. And even with that, like, knowing that, I still feel like when I go into the office and into work, like, that I'm not, like, in charge of myself for some reason. I don't know. It's a strange feeling, but it's, like, I totally can relate. Whereas at home, like, it's just me. So So I'm completely dictating. And I think it's because when I'm at work, you know, there are other people there. So my workflow can get interrupted really easily. And, you know, I answer to other people, or if somebody comes in and I have to meet with them, you know, that just happens.
And I'm going to third everything y'all said, because I was thinking here, one of the pros, and I was going to say it in a way that I thought didn't sound very nice, but I hate wasting time. When you're in the office, there's the possibility of time being wasted because people come in, people drop by, and not that, you know, what's the interruption isn't important, because often it is. But I like that at home, I get to focus on what I need to focus on and just churn it out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think
Isn't it weird how work can be one of the worst places to get work done?
Oh, it's so true. Well, and for example, like on Thursday, I knew going into work that I had two cancellations. Two clients had canceled, you know, early. And as I went in, I was like, yes, I'm going to have like these 2 30-minute time spans where I can work on this or do this. And so I had all these plans. And then, of course, like when it actually came time to have that free time in my schedule, I ended up having an impromptu meeting. And then I ended up doing something else around the office. So it's, you never get that work done that you really plan to, just because you can't like super duper focus.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked about how absolutely fabulous it is to work from home, what are some challenges then that y'all have faced? None. Everything's wonderful.
So you know what? When I first started working out of the house, everything was a challenge, truthfully. I mean, just everything was a challenge. Just, I really thought I was just going to roll out of bed, brush my teeth, grab a cup of coffee, stay in my pajamas, hop on the computer, do a little this and that, take a nap, watch a show, drink more coffee, be in my pajamas all day, no makeup, no shower. Life was going to be great. Like, I really thought it was like that amazing. And it wasn't. It wasn't at all. Like, I can't sit on the couch on the computer and work. I couldn't get things done. I was constantly distracted. I was making so much coffee. It was like all I wanted to do was make coffee. Just getting focused and not taking snooze and snooze and snooze and snooze. Just starting the ball, because I think it is all on me. It's so easy to be lazy. It's so easy to indulge yourself in other things that I really had to remind myself that I had to be responsible and just kind of remind myself what it's like to be disciplined. When, of course, I have a great ability to be disciplined. I mean, I'm a musician. We all have it. I mean, how many hours were we in the practice room in college? And before that, you know, for nothing, you know, for one performance, you know, how much work do you do for one performance? So, like, of course I have the discipline, but I just forgot that discipline is more than for playing an instrument. It's for work. It's for everything in your life. And I had to, like, remind myself, oh yeah, remember that? It's the same thing, but now it's involving work and not play.
Yeah, you kind of have to find a different source of motivation, right? Because if you're in the practice room or you're disciplined in order to finish a paper, it's like, okay, you've got other people relying on this. It's a more tangible. The repercussions of not being focused are kind of a little bit more clear. But when you're just at home and the deadlines aren't so clear, and you have the internet or cable TV,
right,
it's easy to get distracted.
Yes. It is easy to get distracted. And I'm not distracted by wanting to do things around the house. I'm more distracted by things that are just procrastinators, you know, fun, mindless, like you said, you know, TV, internet, things like that. But I do find that once I get the ball rolling, then I'm fine. Like, I don't get distracted when I'm in the middle of something. I get distracted going in to start something. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I have that issue too, Kimberly. And my biggest problem is that there are so many different facets of the work that I do that there are so many things that I could be working on. And I have a hard time choosing. Like, I have all these ideas and I want to do this or I want to do this. Or, you know, I have like tasks for my private practice that aren't so fun, but they just need to be done. And I'll put those off and do other things. And so I think my problem is just focusing and like narrowing it down to what I'm going to work on.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I found it really helpful to the night before, like right before I go to bed and I like have all these things in my head of, okay, I have to do this stuff. I've been just writing it down and having a list, and I just try to prioritize that list of like, okay, first I have to do all this, then I can work on the more fun stuff, the more, you know, like creative work, but first I have to do the drudgery.
Yeah. Rachel, I basically do exactly that. And I have my list of and I know I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I have my list of projects for the week. And then every day I look at, okay, what do I need to get done today?
Right.
And in that way, kind of prioritize day to day. This is what needs to happen.
Exactly.
I get that.
Yeah. It's tough, the prioritization. Something I've been doing lately. Well, you know, I used to make, well, and I still make to-do lists, and you know, you have all these things that have to get done, and it can just be overwhelming. But I've found that just getting some momentum, often things don't take as long as I think they will, and they're not as big of a deal as I build them up in my head to be. So I might make a big list of things I need to get done, but then on the other side of the paper, I'll just write one of those, say I'm going to get this done right now, and then I'll cross that off. Flip it back over, look at what's there. Okay, this is the next most important thing. Just write that down. Just then it helps me focus. I think I'm just distractible by nature and I like having lots of things going on, but I have to really get some momentum, and it helps me to just look at one task and then move on.
Good. That's a good one.
Yeah, I have a question for you on this, as a, you know, related to the topic, but not exactly what we're talking about this moment. I've had conversations about working from home, and there are some people I know who just, they don't like it. They don't want to do it. It's just, they have no interest. They much prefer going into an office, having that and kind of having that separation. For some people, it's like a boundary where work stays at the work. When I'm home, it's my relaxing time. I don't do work at home. So my question then is, do you think there's something personality-wise, where there's certain, you know, personalities and types of work habits or ethics or what have you that attract people to working from home? Or do you think it's purely just contextual, situational? There are some jobs where you go to a job and some jobs that you can do at home, or maybe it's generational in part too. I don't know.
I think it's a combination of all of the above that you mentioned, really. I know, speaking from my own experience, I'm a total introvert, so having that time alone and just to like focus on things, that is what charges me, like recharges my battery, as opposed to being at work and interacting with tons of people. I mean, I love doing that, but that kind of is like the thing that drains me. So I know definitely for me, it is a personality thing, but also I think, you know, our work as music therapists, especially for those of us that are also entrepreneurs and have our own businesses, the work never stops. There's always something. I know that when I worked at Hope, and that was like the only thing that I did, which was for like 5 minutes before I started doing everything else, I could just do my work at work and leave it there. But we always have a new project. We always have planning to do. We always have something. So it's just really not possible for us to leave work at work.
And I think it's easier. It's okay to not leave work at work because we like love what we're doing.
Yeah,
it's a bit more integrated into our personalities and our, okay. So if I did something I really didn't like, then yeah, I would want to have a way to leave work at work, but I don't see as clear of a separation. It's work is me. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's like what I do.
Actually, so. Yeah, Matt, I'm over here. I'm over here on the other side of the country nodding.
Because yeah.
Now that you say that, I'm thinking of the individuals that I've talked with, and for them, work is a job, and it's just something you do basically to pay the bills. Whereas for us, the work we do, like you said, it's infused. There's really, it's a passion. It's not a job. It's a passion for us. So maybe that plays a role in it as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's a more eloquent way to put it. I think I left half my brain cells, you know, almost 2 miles up in the elevation on the hike.
We should be recording at 5 a.m. Maybe that would be better.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really struggling with vocabulary today. So thanks.
You're welcome. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, philosophy, life philosophy. Are you working your passion? Are you working your job?
Yeah.
I can see it really to piggyback on what Rachel said on the type of work too. Some types of work lends itself better to just doing it at home. Whether you are doing something that requires quiet and concentration, you know, like we just said, the office environment isn't always the best idea because you can't control the distractions. But at home, you can control the distractions. If you're recording something, you might want to do that. You know, you would do it in a studio, like a recording studio, or your own home, because you can control those distractions. Mm-hmm. So I can see that. I know with some of my virtual assistant work, I work for like one company that all of us, there's four employees or four or five of us, and we're all in different states, and we can still do the work because the type of work it is, I don't know, I guess you could call it like a online kind of company, because it's a speaker. We're helping the speaker get gigs. And so we don't need to be in an office together. So the type of work you have really can lend into the kind of environment that you can work in as well.
So I'm wondering, because to round this off, when Michelle, you were talking about this topic on Facebook, and you got an interesting question from one of our friends. And I'm interested too, because I don't know how to answer this question, so I'm interested in everybody else's thoughts. Do you want to share what it is, Michelle?
Yeah, because I'll go. This goes from Julie Palmieri, who is a wonderful music therapist, and she's at serenade-designs.com. We'll make sure to put her website on the show notes. And she's fantastic because she and I are very similar. She's a music therapist who now primarily works as a virtual assistant, and she specializes in doing virtual assistant work for music therapists. And she and I are buddies. Like, we are a support for each other because we have the same career right now. We're music therapists who are doing virtual assistant work primarily. And so when I had posted on Facebook that this was the topic, she said, here's what you should ask, or this is what you should talk about. And it was what not to say to someone who works from home. And that made me totally LOL, because I totally know what she means. And she and I went on to talk about, like, chat about this, because we both have run into this since we both primarily work from home. And we're mothers, and people know that. We love our family, so we tell people we have a family. And I was saying to her that one thing that happens to me a lot is that when, you know, you first meet someone, they ask you what you do, and I'll say, oh, I work from home. And a lot of times people assume that I'm saying that I am a full-time homemaker, you know, a home, like I'm not really having a job. I'm working.
Yeah, you're a stay-at-home mom.
Like I say, that's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
When that's not what I'm saying I work from home. And the funniest thing too, and Julie was like, me too, was that I'll tell people, no, I do computer work at home. I'm a virtual assistant. And they still don't know what that is. It's like I'm having this what is music therapy conversation, but in a different field. But that's kind of a side note. But yeah, and so Julie was saying same thing. When I tell people I work from home, they think that I'm a stay-at-home mom. And so that is just like, I know for the two of us, that's an annoying thing to tell people we work for. I don't know, Matt, is that something that you get?
People always think I'm a stay-at-home mom. It's really awkward. No, they get the impression that I like barely work, or that, so you don't work, or, oh, so you're unemployed, or it's like, no, it's none of those things. I feel like I'm working more than I did when I was just working at the hospital. I like work in three shifts now, and or they think you're constantly available. Like, oh, so you don't work, right? So do you want to go do this thing? It's like, well, I have to have similar boundaries, or at least respect the work that I'm doing enough that I say no to some of the things. And you know, at some point, it's just exhausting trying to explain what you're doing.
Julie sent me this really funny article. I'll stick it in the show notes, but it's like, you know, 10 things to tell people when you're talking about that you work from home, like the annoying things that 10 annoying things that people respond when you say, I don't know, the title is much better, but it's one of those BuzzFeed things. It's really funny. But like every single one was true. It was things that you said, like they don't think you work, or they're like, can you run this quick errand for me? I'm working. But I do find that when you do work from home, even though you just told someone I work from home, they don't understand that means you're working from home. Like it's for some reason,
they don't understand the working part. They understand the your home part.
Yeah. Yep.
Rachel, did you run into the same thing? Because you worked for home.
I did, but I did, but not quite to that extent, because I also saw clients directly, even though it was at home. I did run into that though, like when I would be out and about during the day with Parker, and even now to some extent with Mia, because I think people assume that since they see me with my child that I'm a stay-at-home mom, you know, during the weekday. And so, you know, I'm constantly finding myself explaining, oh no, you know, I work and I own a business and I work primarily in the afternoons and that sort of thing. So yeah, to some extent I do.
And that you're kind of reminding me of kind of one of my challenges with the whole thing where people ask what I do. Like, I just want a simple answer. Like, I don't know how to answer that question without going into this, all these details
of my schedule.
Cause like, I know no one's interested, and I don't even, it's not like a privacy thing, but I just don't want to tell people.
Exactly. You know,
I don't want to go there. I haven't figured out the right way to answer that yet.
Well, when you do, you'll have to come back on and share it.
Yes, please do.
I guess so.
I haven't found it either.
Just say it's really complicated and technical and you wouldn't understand it.
It's like you need to be one of those Facebook status things, you know, it's complicated.
Right.
It's top secret.
I know, right, top secret. Maybe I'll say that instead. I like that.
Don't ask too many questions.
So since we're all seasoned veterans of working from home, that doesn't roll off the tongue. I was going to say working out of the house, but I don't like that phrase for some reason. Anyway, since we're all veterans at this gig, what are some tips that you want to share to the public, to everyone listening, to help improve your working from home productivity or face any challenges that you've had? Share some tips.
I'll Kim, jump in. Yeah, first? I was going to say, I'll jump in on this one. It's really just one, and it's just start the project, you know, or whatever. Just start working, because once you start, you'll get in the role, you'll get in the zone. It's like Nike, just do it. So that's it. Just start.
Good one. Matt, what about you?
I would say if you are making the transition from working in a traditional office environment to working from home, give yourself some time to really experiment with your schedule and figure out when your peak productivity times are, and then build your day around it. And it doesn't have to be normal work hours, like 8 to 5, 9 to 5. I mean, I see my day as in like 2, maybe 3 shifts, where I do an early morning shift at home, where I'm having breakfast while kind of planning my day and getting some emails out of the way. And then I see I've got a cafe shift from like 8 to noon. And then there's the nap and kind of lounging around a bit and relaxing. And then if I'm lucky, a little burst in the evening. So there are no rules once you start working from home. You can really tailor your day to your strengths, to your brain, to your body, and how it works and when it works the best.
Good one. I cheer hey hey on that one. You got to do what works for you. Rachel, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I have a couple of things to add. Number one, I would say make your environment work for you. I know that for me personally, if I have a messy space, I like to do a lot of work at my kitchen island. And if it's messy or if I see any clutter like anywhere at all, I just can't focus on my work. So the first thing that I do, well, actually the last thing that I do at night before I go to bed is I clean the kitchen, I clear all the clutter away and just put everything away so that in the morning when I come downstairs, everything is super neat and just like ready for me to dive right into work. So I'm not wasting that time, you know, cleaning then. I know that I'm much more productive if I'm sitting there or in my office than if I'm like sitting on the couch. So kind of play around and experiment with some different settings and find the one or ones that work best for you. That would be my first piece of advice. And then my second piece of advice just goes along with what I was saying earlier, just about prioritizing your work and having a plan in place before you sit down, because otherwise you just aren't going to get the things done that you need to do. There's just too many distractions.
Yeah, I found I have to add on like another cheers about prioritizing, because that has been really helpful for me to just make the big list and prioritize. These are the things that are, these are the A items, the immediate concerns and that sort of thing, so I can have a plan. And I've actually, when I sit down, I do my planning first thing in the morning with my coffee when I'm ready to start. And I actually schedule out my day. So every hour will be a certain task, or since I work for so many different people, it'll be like, I'll put like one job A as the first hour and job C and like the third hour or the second hour and that kind of thing. And I actually set my alarm clock. And then I find that I think I work faster. I'm really focused because I think, oh, I only have an hour to do this. And you know how when you have a list of tasks, you'll be like, well, I want to get this one last thing in. So for some reason, having that clock there helps me stay more focused, like keep that motivation kind of going, because I have that time, even though I go over time and that kind of thing. But then I don't feel like I fall behind by staying on one job all day, or, you know, I don't feel like I'm neglecting some of the other things. I like to do a little bit of everything every day, every work day. I hope that makes sense. But another thing that works for me, and it was really a tough decision to make, was just really realizing when I finally needed to be alone. Because I first started working with Eddie around, with my son there, and he was younger, and that was fine. But then the more skills he took on, the more time he needed from me, just walking and distracting me and, you know, putting his fingers in the light socket and then me having to fix it. You know, I couldn't do work when he was exploring so much. So really making that decision to put him in daycare and deciding how many hours a week and that kind of thing. It was, for some reason, not that I'm opposed to daycare because I love daycare, but for some reason, just making that decision to enroll him, or just kind of really making those boundaries of my work time and that transition for him was something that was a really challenge for me to really decide on. But don't be afraid. If you see that your work is something that you need to do alone, make it happen. I'm a lot more productive with him in daycare and him out of the house than when I try to do things with him around. So don't be afraid if you're a parent. And I think we all can usually start out trying to work with our family in the house with us, but don't be afraid to really have that confidence to say, nope, it's time for us to separate so we can do things better. Yeah. Oh, and the last tip I have is try to get outside every day. Just every day, just try to get outside, even if you're just standing on the porch to get some fresh air. I think it really helps to just get out of the house once a day. Just not even going anywhere. Just get outside, get some fresh air. For the past 4 years, you've heard us tell you about Music Therapy Pro, a community of music therapists with access to members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, discounts with select members, and CMTE courses. As we mentioned last month, Music Therapy Pro is undergoing a facelift. It's still too soon to spill the beans, but next month we'll be rolling out some changes that we'll be sure to share with you. Rachel, you have the cool resource of the month.
Yeah, so I would love to share one of the systems that I've been using to work with my project manager, who is the aforementioned Julie Palmieri. And she does a lot of work with me on my online business. So we have a lot to coordinate. And instead of sending each other a zillion emails a week, we use something called Basecamp. And it's an online resource. It's basecamp.com. And it allows you to have different projects where you can both log into those projects and leave notes, share files, have a shared calendar. And you can have a Basecamp account and have different projects going with different people. So Julie has projects that she shares with me, but then she also has projects that she shares with her other clients as well. So I found it to be a really great way of communicating. You can set it to send email notifications to you when changes are made on your projects or when there are questions that are posted. And it's just been really great to have everything happening in one place. So I highly recommend it if you do work with somebody with a team, or it could be with a project manager in my case. It's not free, but they allow you a free, I think, 60 or 90 day trial to try it out and see if you like it and if it works well for you. And then it's an affordable fee every month, but I found it to be super, super helpful for my business. And Michelle, I know you use something similar, so tell us about your system.
Yeah, there's a couple project management programs out there, like third-party websites like that. Basecamp's one, and the one that I use with someone I work for is called Asana, A-S-A-N-A. And it has all the same features that you're talking about, Rachel, where you create a project and you can have different team members. Like, we all have our own login for the program, but it's within the same company, right? Like the company we're working for. And so we can easily ask team members questions regarding the project on that website instead of sending all those emails. So everything stays in that place. It's really, really handy to just keep everything organized and things don't fall through the cracks like you can when you're trying to manage it all yourself. So that's Asana.
We'd like to give a shout out to our Pro Perk partners. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on products and services from Metro Music Therapy's paper, Music Therapy eBooks, Music Therapy mailings, Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy, A Perfect Lullaby, the Music Therapy Research Blog, Listen and Learn, Music Therapy Maven, Bearpaw Creek, and Session Cafe. Wow, that's a big list. That's awesome. And thank you for your support.
Announcements. I am so excited about this announcement. I want everyone on the planet to know about the Cadenza 5K Glow Run race that is going to be happening at the AMTA National Conference this year. So yes, so the Cadenza 5K is a glow run that's raising awareness of music therapy and support for student scholarships. This race will take place on Saturday, November 14th at 8 p.m. Mark your calendars. Go to this. You may be invited to some sort of luncheon or evening event that involves cocktails. Don't go to that. go to this. But it's in Kansas City at the conference. This event is completely organized by the students of the Midwestern Regional Chapter of the AMTA, and all the money that's raised will be put towards student scholarships for the region. I'm so excited about this race. For two main reasons. Number one, organized by students. How amazing. What an incredible opportunity to gain experience in this. Really, it's a national promotion of this event that is going to, number two, raise awareness about music therapy. I mean, it's so important to get experience, right? We all know about that. But, you know, to get experience outside of music therapy is also really important. So I'm so proud of these students, even though I don't even know them, for taking the steps to make this happen. I think it's super cool. I really hope this becomes an annual event at every AMTA National Conference, is to have this big push. I mean, these kinds of events are the things that press releases can easily be written about. This is what news stations will come to and that kind of thing. So I want everyone on the planet to know and to go to.
Really cool.
Sweet.
Very cool to see.
And speaking of the AMTA National Conference, which is taking place November 12th through 15th in Kansas City, Missouri, we will be there once again. Music Therapy Roundtable, please stop by our booth in the exhibit hall to say hello. We'll also be recording the podcast on Saturday, November 14th in the exhibit hall in the morning. And you listeners are invited to be a guest and share your conference experience with us. So we'll be sharing the exact time on our Facebook page and through our individual Twitter accounts. So if you are available and want to drop on by, please let us know. And we'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us. To see the show notes, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com. If you liked this podcast, take your skills to the next level by visiting Music Therapy Pro. Although currently under construction, very soon you can have unlimited access to almost a dozen CMTEs. Check it out at www.musictherapypro.com. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast.